So today, starting a Christmas series for the next few weeks, we'll be looking at the Christmas story through the Scriptures. And if you've not read them recently, I encourage you to do so. Read through the beginning of the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. These serve as good reminders of what this season is really about. Amen? I think we need that reminder because we get so caught up in decorating and gift-giving and what we're doing with family and all these things. And those things are all nice, but those are not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about Jesus. Amen? And so we need to read those and be refreshed and reminded about why do we really celebrate this time of year. And so in doing that today, this season I'm preaching on Christmas miracles. And so when you think about the word miracle, you just hear that word, what do you think about? Does it make you think of God when you hear miracle? Or does it make you think of magic or mystery when you hear the word miracle? Are you somebody who believes in miracles and you think they're real, or do you think that they're fake and they're just coincidence or they just happen to happen kind of thing? Some people probably picture what you see in movies when you think about miracles, right? In a movie, especially these cheesy Hallmark Christian movies, when you hear of a miracle, it's like this glittery, like, circle, you know, goes around the screen, and you hear this little chiming of bells or something in the background, and that's how, for people that aren't familiar with miracles, that's how you know that's a miracle, right? It doesn't happen like that in real life. When a miracle happens, you don't hear a little chime, and you don't see a little swirl of glitter go around the screen like we do on TV. On TV, they do it this way, and that's part of why I think too many people think miracles are kind of magic, because Hollywood and early even Christian things, they kind of portray them sometimes almost as magical or mystical. And so Christmas movies have miracles, and so we call them Christmas miracles. If you've been around me real long, I don't like when people attach anything to the front of miracle. If you say it's a Christmas miracle, you ask my kids, what do I always say? It's just a miracle. It's just a miracle, right? It's not attached to the season, right? It's attached to the God of miracles. And so Christmas miracles, I am preaching on that today. I don't usually talk like that, but because it is the season and because there are miracles in the story of the birth of Christ, I want to look at these today, and I just want you to keep in mind that it's a miracle simply because it's the work of God. It's the work of God that makes it a miracle. It's not the season. But as we look at the birth of Christ and the Scriptures that speak to these miracles, I want to first tell you what exactly is a miracle. You may be thinking, I'm not even sure what a miracle is. A miracle, by the dictionary definition, says it's an extraordinary event in the physical world that surpasses all known human or natural powers and is ascribed to a supernatural cause. Such an effect or event manifesting or considered as the work of God. In the Greek, in your Bible, when you see the word miracle, it's this word semion. Everybody say, semion. That's really weak. All right, I know I have a microphone, but semion. That is a lot better. Semion, it just means a sign or an unusual occurrence. And so when you pair those down and you put those together, the simple way of remembering what a miracle is, the way I like to define miracle, is it's simply God intervening in the life of man in a supernatural way. It's God Almighty working in our lives in a supernatural way. It's important that we recognize this because it brings us back to the fact that miracles come by the hand of God. Miracles come by the hand of God, and it affects our life in the way that is unusual. This is why some people don't believe in miracles. They, number one, they don't believe in God, or number two, they just don't believe that God works in our lives in unusual ways. They think God just works in our lives in ordinary ways, and I would say to you that that sounds like a pretty weak God that they believe in. I would say it really does. It sounds like a pretty weak God that you believe in if you don't believe that He can work in our lives in unusual ways. And so without God, an event cannot be classified as a miracle. Today we're looking at the miracle of God making something from nothing. And we see this in the story of Mary as she conceives a child by the Holy Spirit. We'll be in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. If you want to follow along in your Bible, listen, I got so many props for bringing my paper Bible to church. Everywhere I went, they were like, "Wow, you have a paper Bible?" I was like, "Yeah, why else? Why would I come to church and not bring my Bible?" And they're like, "We just don't see people bring Bibles anymore." And I was like, "Well, it kind of seemed like it made sense to me, you know. I go to a baseball game, I'm bringing my ball glove, right?" But anyway, so if you have your paper Bible, feel free to turn along. If not, it will be up on the screen behind me as well. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." What a story this is. When I say story, it's not fiction. It's real. It's a true story. This is something that really happened. There's really a girl named Mary that was a virgin, engaged to be married, who had a visit from an angel. And there really was an angel that told her she would become pregnant in a miraculous way with no involvement from a man, but by the Holy Spirit. This account of how Jesus was born, this account leads us to this amazing story of a Savior that is born, but He's a Savior who already had existed. Maybe you're not familiar with that, or you're not aware of that this morning, but we celebrate the birth of Christ, and to many people they think that's the beginning of Christ, but it's not the beginning of Jesus, because Jesus is eternal. This is not His creation, because He is the Creator. This is just His incarnation. This is the moment where God Almighty in the Spirit takes on a body of flesh. This is a story about how He leaves heaven and He comes to earth to live sinless life as a man in this human body, to ultimately give up that body on the cross to pay the price for your sin and for mine. And church, this is why we think about Jesus during Christmas. There's no need to think about a child being born if you don't really understand or get who that child is and what He came for. And it all starts here with a miracle. This is a miracle. This is the kind of miracle that maybe you're like, I prefer not to sign up for this kind of miracle that turns my life upside down in this sort of way. This is God intervening in the life of this young Mary in a supernatural way. When you consider this way that he worked supernaturally in this story, there's three things that it takes to make a baby. I'm not going to quiz you and ask you what they are, because I know how that is. But there's three things that it takes to make a baby. It takes a seed, it takes an egg, and it takes God. Now see, biology will not teach you that. Biology will not teach you that it takes three things, but they'll teach you that it takes two things. But that's not true. It requires a seed, an egg, and God. And this is always true in every instance of every person ever being born in all of human history, except for this one. Except for this one. Typically, the man provides the seed, the woman provides the egg, and this creates the body. But it's God who gives life. It's God who gives life that he creates the soul and the spirit that body belongs to. Listen, the body is the least important part of a person. It's the lowest on the totem pole. It's the least important part. God creates the soul and the spirit that body belongs to, and this is the only way for a baby to come into existence, except for one day in Nazareth. There's one day in Nazareth that God says, listen, we're not doing it that way. This time, I'm going to do something miraculous. And you may be skeptical today. You may think that's just a story, that's just the way that it's been told for all these ages. And if you're skeptical, that's okay, because I believe Mary was a little bit skeptical when she heard the story too. I believe when that angel came, she was kind of like, are you sure about this? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. In fact, she said in verse 34, how can this be since I do not know a man? How can it be? Angel, this is a great story. It sounds pretty interesting. But how is it possible when I'm a virgin? That's what that means. That I don't know a man means that she hasn't had sex. She hasn't been intimate with a man. And she says, how can it be? I think this is Mary's version of saying, Angel, I think we're missing something from your piece of the story. How can this be? God intervenes. God intervenes in the life of this young woman, and he supernaturally plants the seed. As far as biology is concerned, God made something from nothing, physically speaking. He made something that was not there. Now listen, if that's hard for you to grasp and hard for you to get your mind around, think about the fact that in the beginning was God. Right? In the beginning was God. That's it. There wasn't any of this other stuff here, and God began to speak, and things began to take shape. God began to speak, and things that were not there began to be there. It's the way the entire universe was created. And so if you grasp that, it makes this concept of this seed being miraculously created and planted a whole lot easier to believe. There's no scientific explanation of how this could have happened, because it was a supernatural act, a work of God. Church, I believe our God is a miracle-working God. Do you believe that this morning? He's a miracle-working God, and it's not just something that's reserved for the birth of Christ, for the conception of Christ. I believe he works miracles today for me and for you. I believe he's the same God today as he was on that day when this angel came to visit this young woman. I believe it's the same Spirit that worked in Mary that day that works in you and me today. The same Spirit that would later raise Jesus from the dead. Again, something that's impossible. Something man would say can't be done, and God says, watch me. God says, watch me, and that church is the same Spirit that lives in you and me if you're born again. It's the same Spirit. It's the same stuff. And so I want to encourage you, don't get stuck on the question of how can this be. Just know the answer is Jesus. Pretend you're a kid, right? Childlike faith, you're in children's church, what's the answer? It's Jesus. It's always the answer in children's church, right? Ask any kid when they come down today, they could have learned all about Moses today, and they come down and you'd be like, what'd you learn about today? They'd be like, Jesus. And they're right, right? And they would be right. All the scriptures point to Jesus. He is the Word. It is all about Him. But that's the answer. So if you get hung up on how can it be, just trust that it's Jesus. And let's move on from there. I believe, church, whatever miracle you're in need of in your life, whatever it is, however you need God to intervene, whatever you can look at and you can say, man, if God could just enter into this part of my life, this situation, in a supernatural way, church, I believe He can. You just have to believe that He's all-powerful, that He's all-knowing, that He's ever-present, and that He loves you and wants to show up in your life. Amen? He wants to show up in your life in supernatural ways. I believe that just like the angel started with Mary, He said, you're favored and blessed. I'm going to tell you, if you're a child of God, you're favored and blessed. Amen? If you're a child of God, you are favored and blessed. And that's what she was. And this is the lead up to a miracle in her life, is realizing that, wait a minute, I am favored and I am blessed. Now, does that mean you deserve a miracle? No, it doesn't mean you deserve it. But man, if you're favored and blessed, you ought to believe that, man, God really thinks something of me. God really does love me. He really does care about me. He really does want to do amazing things in my life. But how can this be? How can it be? I believe for you and me, it's the same way that it was for Mary. In verse 35, what the angel answered her was, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who's to be born will be called the Son of God. Now relax. None of you are going to have to birth the Son of God. Man, that's pressure off right there. I'd be like, can you just not tell me that it's the Son of God? Because I will mess this thing up. I'm not that good of a dad to be raising the Son of God. That's what I would have been thinking, right? This is a one-time miracle. And for those of you who are like me, you might also be thinking, I don't want to birth the Son of anyone. All right, if you're in that boat, don't worry about that, okay? We're not limiting the miracles of God to childbirth. If that is a miracle that you're believing for, though, I believe that He can do that in your life too. Amen? I believe God can. It's whatever miracle you are seeking, right here, it happens the same way as it's laid out here for Mary. First, it starts with a seed given to you by God. What is the seed? It's the seed of faith. God gives every one of us a seed of faith. Romans 12, Paul talks about this. He goes into a little more detail. It's a pretty lengthy conversation about faith. But he says that God has given each one a measure of faith. Picture that like a seed. God's given everyone a seed of faith. First of all, that seed of faith is to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, to believe upon Him, trust in Him, and to be saved. That's the primary purpose of the seed of faith. But from there, that seed of faith continues to grow and bring on the other gifts of the Spirit in our lives, including miracles. God has given you the seed to believe in Jesus, But he's also given you the seed to believe that Jesus is a miracle-working God. No matter what you see in front of you, no matter what you hear people say on TV, no matter what the naysayers say, it doesn't matter what they say because Jesus is a miracle-working God, and he's given you the seed of faith to be able to believe that. But something else has to happen. Just like with Mary, the Holy Spirit has to come upon you. When you hear this, come upon you, it's different than just being within you. The word come means to overtake, and the word upon means position. It means that the Holy Spirit has to overtake your position in your mind that causes doubt. See, that's always the obstacle to God working in our lives. It's usually our own mind. Right? It's our own doubt. It's our own rejection. It's our own fears and worries and the things that go through our mind. Church, we got to get our mind to submit to the Holy Spirit. We got to get our mind to say it doesn't matter what you feel like or what you think. We've got to trust God. I've got to take that seed of faith, and I got to believe that God can do this. Now, maybe you don't believe that he will do it. You got to at least start out with believing that he can, that he's able. And the Spirit tells your mind just what Mary was told by this angel, that with God, nothing will be impossible. And let that overtake any doubt that we have in our mind. What does the world tell us about believing? The world says seeing is believing. Baloney. People see stuff all the time and they still don't believe it. Right? They're like, if I see it, I'll believe it. Then they see it and they're like, no, that's witchcraft. No, there's got to be an explanation. There's somebody behind the screen pulling the strings, right? People will always have an excuse even for the things that they see. Seeing is not believing. That's just some baloney that we're told all throughout our lives. It's not always true. Submission is believing. Submission is believing. When we submit our thoughts, our doubts, to the Spirit of God who reveals truth to our heart, then we begin to believe that God loves me and he's for me, and I believe that he can do anything in my life, even something that anyone would tell me is impossible. I believe God can do it. The other thing we need is the power of the highest will overshadow you. This word for power is dunamis power in the Greek, but it literally means the strength to perform miracles. See, the angel told Mary there's going to be a strength to perform miracles from God, and it's going to overshadow you. It's going to cast a shadow on you. And when you think about the fact that God is light, you're like, why would God cast a shadow over me? Why would God put me in the dark? Well, it's not in the dark. It's just a shadow. It just shows that you're behind something. This shows us that when miracles happen, while they happen to us, the miracle's never really about us. It may happen to you. It's not really about you. You're to be in the shadow of God, because he's the one that the light ought to be shining on to get the glory. The miracle's about God and his power. You just happen to be the one who is blessed to receive it and be the beneficiary and point people to Jesus. Now, why is this so important? Why is it so important that we grasp that a miracle's not about you? Because when you realize that it's not about you, it begins to chip away at that doubt that you think, God couldn't do this for me. It begins to take away that doubt of God wouldn't do that in my life because I fill in the blank. It's not about you. It's about him and his all-consuming passion and love and desire for you to know him, but also to be blessed and favored of him, for you to have a life that is dedicated to him. It's important that we know this, because when we realize it's not about me, it takes away all my excuses, and all I can do is trust him. All I can do is just trust that if he's done it for someone else, church, he can do it for me. Amen? I believe that's why testimony is so important in our lives. Because we need to realize that whatever it is that you need, you could write down the list. We could make a list right here and just begin to lay them down at the altar. There's nothing that you can ask for to have done in your life that God hasn't already done for somebody else. Nothing. Not one single thing. In fact, I would challenge you, if you think otherwise, to prove me wrong. Come up to me with a miracle that you need in your life, a way that you need God to intervene in your life that he hasn't already done for somebody else. You're not going to be able to come up with one. And if he's done it for someone else, he can do it for you. Be encouraged by that. Like Mary was encouraged by this other miracle. The angel tells her that God had just done something for her cousin in verse 36. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. The angel basically said to her, listen, God did it for her. He can do it for you because nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that, church? If you believe that, I want you to repeat after me. For with God, nothing will be impossible. I believe there's power in proclaiming those kinds of things from your mouth. That for with God, nothing will be impossible. See, God's given you that seed of faith, but you have the other part. You come back to a birth. You have to have the seed and you have to have the egg. God's given you the seed. He's given you the seed of faith, the ability to believe. But now you have to provide the place for the seed to live and grow. You have to provide the atmosphere and cultivate that place for it to live and grow. You've got to make room for that seed of faith in your life by trusting God for the impossible. You got to trust him for the impossible. And these are ways that you can make room for that seed of faith in your life. You make room by saying, I don't have to see it to believe it. Right? By rejecting those things that the world would say that we have to do. I don't have to see it to believe it. You can make room by saying, it doesn't have to make sense. Or I don't have to understand it. Man, listen, these things are going to push the enemy away from your seed of faith. You say, you know what? I don't have to understand it. I don't have to have all the details. I don't have to know why. I don't have to know how. I trust God. You make room by saying, God desires to show his power in my life. You make room by declaring that I know that God desires to show his power in my life. You make room by saying, again, if he's done it before, he can do it again. And church, it's time for us to get out of our mind and get into the Spirit. Right? Isn't that the hardest challenge that we have in life? Getting out of your mind, out of your head, and getting into the Spirit and believing what God has for you. Believing what he can actually do in your life. Let him take the position of authority. Let the Spirit take the position of authority and overtake any doubt or disbelief that you might have. Can you be like Mary this morning? After she hears all of this, imagine, you know, most people think she was probably 14, 15 years old. Imagine telling a young teenager this kind of story. Imagine an angel showing up to a teenager in the first place. And then he tells her this story, and as heavy and weighty as that could be, she hears the word of the Lord, and at the end she says in verse 38, behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Of all the things she could have said, right? She said basically two things. Lord, this doesn't, or angel, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem to add up. It seems like you're missing something. And then as he finishes explaining, she's like, okay, behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Basically, forget all this other stuff. I trust God. I believe that he can do miraculous things, and I trust him to do whatever it is that he desires to do. Church, if you want to see God bring something from nothing in your life, it starts with this seed of faith. But it ends with you coming before him and saying, like Mary did, here I am, I'm a servant, God. God, I'm nothing compared to you. I'm just a servant here to do your will. Let it be to me according to your word. Are you bold enough to make that kind of statement to God this morning? To say, God, let it be to me according to your word. Can I tell you something that's powerful in that statement? Whatever it is that you're in need of, in some way, shape, or form, God's promised it in his word. In some way, shape, or form, he's already promised. He's already said that he's capable of doing it. And so you don't have to know the word. It's good if you do. But I'm just saying you don't have to know the verse that pertains to your specific need to receive it. You can just say, here I am, a servant of God. Let it be to me according to your word. Whatever you've already said, God, I'll take it. Whatever you've already promised, God, I'm ready to receive it. Whatever you have for me, God, I need it today. See, God's given us everything that's necessary for a miracle. He's given us everything that's necessary for a miracle. He has a desire to show his power in your life and in the life of those that you love, those around you. So the question comes down to, what are you willing to do about it? What are you willing to do about it today? Are you willing to step out for a miracle? Are you willing to step down to the altar today and say, here I am, God, just a servant. Right? Just a simple servant. I'm a nobody. I don't know anything. I'm just a servant, but let it be to me according to your word. God, here's what my need is. Here's what my heart is. If you can say today, I need Jesus to intervene in my life in a supernatural way. If you can say that today, I want you to begin to step down to the altar, and I want you to begin to do it now. This isn't one of those wait to see if somebody else is going to go. Because it's not about them, and it's not about you. Remember what the miracle is about. It's about him. It's about his supernatural power. And it's not about you. So we don't have to think here. You just have to respond if you have a need and you have a heart to believe. This morning you may need strength or rest or healing or deliverance or comfort. I just challenge you to take the step this morning, because I believe Jesus is a miracle working God, and I believe his spirit is here in this room. Will you let the seed of faith overtake you and your doubt today? And church, if you need to feel his presence, maybe you don't understand. But if you just need to feel his presence today, if you say, I need to know his love, I don't really, can't even relate to everything that you're preaching today. Or if you need to be saved today, listen, he's given you the seed of faith. He's given it to you, but are you willing to step out and proclaim your belief in him today? We got to let his power overshadow you. It's about Jesus and what he's done for you. Listen, church, he died a criminal's death on a cross so that you could be forgiven. He bore stripes on his back so you could be healed. He rose from the grave so you could have new life in him and not be who you once were, but you could be a new creation that lives forever with him in heaven. And if you need something today. I believe this is the place and the time to receive a miracle in your life. Would you bow with me? Father, we just give this time to you, this time of ministry, this time at the altar. God, we submit it all to you and we ask you to have your way with each and every person, whatever their needs are. God, would you reward their obedience to step down by showing up in their lives? Would you reward their willingness to say, "Here I am, Lord," with whatever it is that their heart is in need of this morning? God, we believe what we said earlier. For with God, nothing will be impossible. There's not one impossible thing here in this room today. There's not one impossible need at this altar, because we serve the God who was and is to come. We serve the God who is the beginning from the end, the Alpha and the Omega. We serve the God who is all-powerful and can do all things. And so, God, I pray for these people here at the altar that you would let it be to them according to your word. God, as we lift high the name of Jesus, as we worship you, we ask you to have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys would stick around at the altar. I'm just going to come by and quickly pray for each one of you and anoint you with oil. Church, let's lift high the name of Jesus. Let's worship him.